on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. The sun's coming up very nicely and warming up the whole tree climbing contest. It's actually underway now. If you hear a bell or a horn honk in the background, that's actually different progress markers, for lack of a better term, that they have. The climbers will have to go ring this horn, slap that bell. All of these events are based not only on skill but time as well. So you've got a judge's score that goes against your time, and the best out of five of the events, the best three actually advance to a head off. That'll happen later this afternoon for a shootout, and then that'll wrap it up. But I actually had a chance. If you were listening earlier, we were talking about the Boojum tree. I ran up to the cactus garden where the Boojum trees were, and I got to see one. It looks like a big cone. Like, if you ever seen the orange caution cones on the side of the road for construction workers, it looks like one of those at the trunk. And then just little tiny branches that are only stick out several inches. Very, very peculiar tree. But I sent one. Well, Mom will get it posted on Facebook, so we all will now know what a Boojum tree looks like. And going off of the Arizona Community Tree Council's event here at the Boyce Thompson Arboretum, I want to go back. I didn't take time to talk more about the Knotsford Hill Inn where we stayed last night. Dad, it's one of those buildings that when you walk into it and you spend time walking around and you view the craftsmanship and you view the layout and you view just how well this structure has held up for over 100 years, you just go, man, we just don't build them like we used to. I don't know how or why we ever got off of some of those old world craftsman techniques. It is just incredible building. So if you're looking for a place to stay in Globe, we highly recommend it. And we're going to turn it back over to Rosie for the rest of the open line hour, followed by an hour with some home inspector or city inspectors talking building permits.
That's right. Right here at Rosie on the House. Sounds like Romy's having fun up there. It sounds like absolutely beautiful morning up there. Well, we're here to answer your questions, and we are like under one of the most peculiar situations. There was a little air glitch, I guess, that maybe one or two of the stations we went dark on. Like, in 28 years, I don't think I've ever sat here and had the phone lines empty, and they're empty right now. I don't know if the phones are working. The number is 1-888-767-4348. I get phone calls all during the week about, Rosie, we tried to call in. Can you take my question now? All I got was busy signals. Well, right now, we've got it completely clear. Really kind of a peculiar situation, but they're clear now if you'd like to get in. And like Romy says, at 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about if you've got project complete at your house. This mirrors our article in the Arizona Republic about projects that were completed at your house, maybe without a permit or not to code.
I do have a question, Rosie, on text, asking if that Lumber Liquidators applies to Home Depot as well. I mean, you mentioned buying it online. Would somebody have gotten that material anywhere else other than online?
I believe they could have. Could have got it anywhere.
Okay, so you need to be careful no matter what.
Yeah.
Is the brand on the box Liquid Lumber?
Yes.
Lumber Liquidators.
Yes, it is. So, you know, we opened that hour with that.
Do you want me to go to staycation, give you a break here for a second?
I will in a minute.
Okay.
But I just want to bring people up to speed that the USA Today ran an article earlier in the week that if you bought your laminate flooring from Lumber Liquidators, you need to try and find out if it was one of the varieties that were from China. And if they were from China, they're finding that particular product is creating a very potential carcinogenic situation inside your house. So hopefully you still got receipts. Hopefully you still got maybe a spare box. We can take the lot numbers off of it and try and figure it out.
What a bummer. That could be a ton of work for somebody. So, going to do the staycation?
Let's move to the staycations.
All right.
Now all the lines are lit.
So we'll get through the staycation real quick. Of course, once a month we have a drawing for our wonderful staycation. And whoever wins gets a chance to go to Sanderson and pick out a car that they would like that's on their demo lot. and take it anywhere in Arizona that they would like to go. We don't have block out weekends or any restrictions, as long as we can find you a place to stay. So we've had just a ton of fun. We've gotten great feedback. This weekend, we have a really special trip with Paul and his daughter, Annie. They were looking for some together bonding time. She's a teenager, and Dad's looking for a way to try to connect. And I think he's listened to you long enough about getting out and about in Arizona that he thought that would be a good idea. So they got a beautiful Ford Mustang. I'm sure that resonated with Miss Annie, and they headed up to Out of Africa Wildlife Park, and then they're going to go stay at the Best Western Inn Plus of Sedona. And I have to say that Plus really means something, because if you look at they have some of the best views in Sedona. They have beautiful little balconies to sit down with, little fire pits, private on your deck there, so you can look out at the mountains. Just a beautiful, beautiful spot. And they were provided with a nice basket of munchies from Sphinx Date Ranch of Scottsdale. You can find Sphinx Date Ranch online as well. So they're having a great time. I can't wait to hear the reports.
You can only register for that at rosieonthehouse.com. It's the Arizona Staycation. It's a lot of fun. It gives us an opportunity to try and get you out about the great state.
The most fun for us is getting to hear the reports afterwards.
It's really, really fun to hear the reports afterwards. Mike, punch up line two. Let's see what we've got. We're just going to go round robin here. We've got a full bank of callers here. Hey, good morning. And all I know, it's a 623 number. If you could hear my voice, you're calling from 623. What's your name?
Good morning.
What's your name?
Oh, my name's Carol, and I actually didn't expect to get on the air, but I heard Romy pronouncing the boojum tree. I think he's saying it a little wrong. It's boojum. And I've read that it's related to ocotillo. So it looks like one giant ocotillo branch in the shape of a cone with these little spindly things.
Yeah, I don't think they're using that tree at all for any of the climbing contests up at Boyce Thompson. That's for sure. We appreciate the call. We really do. We're here covering all and every project you'd like to try and tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin. We've gotten a few texts about, you know, the comment I made earlier in the show that when our remodeling contractor friends that we know are out and about visiting with homeowners who are contemplating getting a project done, that very often the remodeler is having to share the bad news that the investment to get this project done is going to be significantly more than the homeowner wants to spend. And a lot of times the homeowner will then just keep making more and more phone calls until they get somebody that commits to them, you know, in the price range that they're more comfortable with. Well, we recently had an experience with a particular homeowner who called us and called three or four other people. And he was so frustrated, he said, you know, nobody shows up on time, nobody returns my phone call, nobody will get back to me with the information that they say they're going to get back to me except you. And I tell the guy, I say, look, that's the reason is because they have said they can get this project done for what you said you wanted to get it done. They've gone back to their office and they've started drawing plans and they've started measuring how many 2x4s it's going to take, how many pounds of nails, how much sheetrock, how much electrical bid there's going to be in air conditioning work and floor covering and cabinets and countertops and plumbing. And they've come back and realized that the number they've just given you absolutely is no way they can get it done. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. And that's why you're not hearing back from them. And so we put together a buyer's guide not too long ago about how to pick a remodeling contractor. We covered it in detail last week. I'm not going to cover it this week again. You can find it at rosieonthehouse.com. It kind of guides you through steps that you can take to make sure the contractor you pick to get the work done at your house is not going to be a nightmare, because that's what we deal with all the time. People calling us with nightmare stories, and they want us to fix it. And I'm saying, look, I don't have the authority to fix it. If they're not a Rosie certified contractor, I can't come in and beat them up. I hope you had the good sense of at least picking a licensed contractor so you can go to the Register of Contractors. Then you have at least some recourse. But anyway, go find that guideline on how to pick a contractor, and it will help you greatly. Every hour you spend researching your contractor and deciding who to pair up with, you could save yourself literally weeks and months of agony down the road. Mike, let's bring Brent into the conversation, who's calling in with a masonry question. Good morning, Brent.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Good, good. How's your morning?
It's terrific.
Yeah, pretty nice, huh?
It's beautiful. I got a question. It's probably unrelated to anything you guys are currently talking about. I joined the conversation late here. But I recently moved into a neighborhood built in 1983, and the perimeter walls around the property, you can probably guess what my question is. It's the bottom two or three courses are they're basically just deteriorating. And the conventional wisdom from longtime residents is that it's a result of sprinklers. I don't really believe that based on the perfect, you know, the damage ends right at the grout line. So it appears that's pulling moisture up from the ground, and a true grout line is actually stopping the infiltration. But the problem is the base of the walls are just basically, they're just decaying, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. A lot of people have tried to stucco over them, and you're stuccoing over basically a bad substrate at that point. So my thought was I'm going to prime it and paint it as a temporary fix. And I was wondering if you had any experience with what might be a good primer to use.
Well, Brent, what you're going to want to do to really solve the problem is analyze whether or not there's been any enough deterioration that the wall is structurally compromised. If it's just surface blemishes and what we call efflorescence and spalding, where the concrete and the cement surface is spalding off of the face of the block, and you're right, the grout line can stop that water filtration, but it is a moisture problem. Whether it's coming from the sprinklers or not, it's a moisture problem. And what most people don't know is to stop it, you don't just prime and paint down to the ground level. You actually have to excavate that wall down to the top of the footing and stop the moisture from getting into the block underneath the ground, because what happens is the block gets wet below grade, because that's when you sprinkle, the water is drawn down by gravity, it gets into the block, the sun comes out and warms up the block. That actually forces the water to wick up the wall, and it gets to the point to where the heat causes the water to actually come out to the surface and evaporate. That process is what's deteriorating the surface of your block. It's actually taking the cement and the binders and the granules of the CMU unit and forcing them off the face of the block. What you're going to want to do, Brent, if you don't have too much structural damage, is go ahead and excavate down to the top of the footing. You're going to want to get a masonry primer or a product called F-Stop, E-F-F Stop. That stands for efflorescence stop. You're going to want to prime the bottom 3 to 4 feet of the wall and paint the bottom 3-4 feet of the wall. But again, unless you go all the way down to the top of the footing, you're probably not going to solve it except for the very shortest duration of time. You're going to spend time power washing it. You're going to spend time getting rid of all the loose granules and surface deterioration. You're going to prime it. You're going to paint it. And I promise you, it won't be but just a matter of weeks, just weeks, before that deterioration starts returning if you don't go all the way down to the top of the footing. Appreciate the call, Brent. We've got Jayco and Mario also on hold. We'll get your calls just as quick as we can. We're going to have to take a quick break here. It's Rosie on the House. Y'all stay tuned.